Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 9 to 14. In his message titled, IFTTT, Reverend David Williams tells us that we make thousands of choices in our lifetime, some big and some small. If we choose to perform some simple acts like showing justice, giving love, and lifting up others, then we can make our lives better and change the world. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. Every day brings with it 1,000 choices, 10,000 choices, some of them minor, some of them trivial. Do I pour out that little extra bit of cereal into my bowl? Do I make four eggs instead of three? There are small choices, but then there are also choices that shape the arc of our lives, shape the form of our relationships. A choice to either speak an unnecessarily harsh word because you're grumpy that morning, or to let it rest and speak grace instead. A choice to act kindly. A choice to show justice. And to be fair to another, even though we'd rather not. And the truth of our lives is that more often than not, when faced with a choice of establishing reconciliation or grace, and just being a little ornery, we choose the ornery. We choose the grumpy. We choose the negative. We choose the selfish. And that breaks our lives apart, both individually and together as a people and as a nation. So now let's admit we do that. Let's pray our yearning for a heart of reconciliation through the prayer of confession that we find in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious and loving God, sometimes we just can't get along with everyone. There are relationships and friendships that seem at first filled with promise, but which fade or fail. It's easy to carry bitterness with us or bear hatreds that gnaw at us. We can let these things consume us, and we can carry those old angers with us for a lifetime. Remind us, O God, that your call to repentance is also a call to repent from the brokenness of the past. Remind us, gracious one, that your healing reaches back even to old hurts. Remind us, loving God, that your call on our lives is a call to reconciliation. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to what is good. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the book of the prophet Isaiah. I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 58, the second part of verse 9 through verse 14. You can follow along on page 688 of your pew Old Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have always loved gadgets. I like gadgety things. I think it's just one of those American male compulsions. You know, I think few things warm the cockles of my heart more than just you get this device and it does something nifty. You've never seen something like that before and you're like, ooh, that's so neat. And that's why I have a couple of toy robots lying around the house. It's why for my 42nd birthday, my mother, knowing me, bought me this tiny little flying indoor helicopter, which was really, really cool. It's like, look, there's a helicopter in my house. Oh, it was so awesome for about a day before I crashed into a lamp and that was the end of that. Or like a couple of years ago, I bought this like I'd had this idea in my head. You know, I'm tired of the mosquitoes in my backyard. I want them all dead. I don't know if they're Christian obligations towards mosquitoes, but it felt sort of unchristian. I really want them all dead. I still do. So I bought this high-tech mosquito trap that seemed to like be, you know, it's like killing mosquitoes with science. And it used this complex array of fans and nets and propane that powered the unit, but also emitted these little puffs of carbon dioxide so that it was like a breathing creature, and that's how the mosquitoes are going to come to it. And I convinced my wife to let me buy this thing and then set it in our backyard. And, you know, after the first two seasons, I did the math and realized that I was paying about $15 per mosquito to I mean, it did catch a couple, which may or may not have flown into it at random. But that doesn't stop me from loving gadgets. And yet my wife, knowing this for our anniversary, bought me another gadget for our household recently. It's this little cylindrical object, an Echo. And it sits in the living room listening. That's what it does. It sits there and it listens to everything, and then you can ask it things, and it will answer you, which is kind of cool. You could say, play the soundtrack to the Broadway version of Evil Dead the Musical, and it will. And you have to say stop, because, you know. Or you can ask it what Millard Fillmore's birthday is, and it knows it, and it will tell you that. And if you ask me, what's Millard Fillmore's birthday, I've got no idea. Ask it who the Prime Minister of Bangladesh is. It knows that. What's the weather going to be like tomorrow? It'll tell you. It puts things on your to-do list, which I thought was my wife's job, but evidently it can do that too. It updates the calendar. It, with a few additional purchases, which of course I felt compelled to make, it now turns the lights on and off in our entire upstairs by room, by unit. You could tell it to dim the lights, and it works 80% of the time. It's very much like suddenly something out of Star Trek, and it learns new skills, like an app I downloaded onto it to try out. It was it leads you through a 1 minute long mindfulness meditation, in which it speaks soothingly to you about managing your breath and your thoughts and focusing on your breath, and then it plays either waterfall or forest music, depending, I guess, on where you are. And that was just silly. I mean, if we imagine that a machine can guide us to a higher level of mindfulness in 60 seconds, I think it's just an indication that that whole mindfulness thing has kind of jumped the shark a little bit. It's a neat device. It's a neat device. It's kind of cool. But one of the things I've noticed is it weirds out our dog, who, when you talk to it and it talks back, she either runs away or she wanders over to the device and sniffs at it curiously, like, what is this? And on the one hand, that's really cute. On the other hand, it reminds me a little bit of the reactions the dogs had in the Terminator movies, which is maybe not a good sign for a tech thing. And one of the neat things about it is it ties in to this new online system called IFTTT. It's IFTTT, a net-based protocol for logically controlling devices and adding new functionalities. It's if this, then that. You tell it to do something. If this thing happens, then that thing will happen. And it'll totally automate your life. So like everything around you will change depending on what you want. Like if you want the lights in your house to come on whenever you get within 100 yards of it after dark and the door to unlock when you get close to it, you just create this IFTTT recipe that works through your Echo, that works through all the other products that of course you're gonna have to buy. And it'll magically happen. Or if you want the dimmable lights that you've installed in your house to suddenly turn up to maximum whenever you say, let there be light. It can do that too. It's a simple set of logical operators that let you structure the world around you so that every one of your actions triggers something. Every one of the things you say or the places you find yourself shapes things around you. And that's sort of cool in a gadgety way, but it's also an analog, a peculiar analog of the logic of existence, as this logical thing from the virtual world starts pressing out into our actual meat space life, where if we take a certain action, other things occur. And that's kind of the challenge we get from the book of Isaiah today. It's a message of challenge that contains a sequence of if-then statements. If you do this, then that. And it's a section of Isaiah that comes to us from an interesting time in the history of the people of Israel. This is Third Isaiah. Whenever I preach from Isaiah, I mention what time we're in, and this section comes out of Third Isaiah, which was written and preached perhaps 510 or 515 years before Christ by a prophet who followed on the traditions of Isaiah. It's not like First Isaiah, whose vision and proclamations describe a people who are overly comfortable in Jerusalem and in the temple. And unlike 2nd Isaiah, it doesn't talk about a Jewish people who are living in exile, who are shattered and enslaved by Babylon. This is the last 10 chapters, and they've got their own particular context. Here, the Hebrew people have been returned to their land. They've been given the opportunity to rebuild their culture after it was nearly wiped from the face of the earth by the Babylonian Empire, because Cyrus of Persia had given them both the opportunity and the resources to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild. And this would seem like a positive thing. But what we hear from Isaiah, what we hear from other texts in Scripture that describe this period was that time was a struggle. Once you have torn something down, once it has been obliterated, it doesn't just pop right back up easily. In fact, it can be a little harder rebuilding than it was rebuilding on the front end. It was difficult to the point of almost being hopeless. And as much as we would like to say, well, you know, once the going gets tough, once everything falls apart, what happens is human beings band together. People gather and they work hard and they rebuild and everyone supports each other, and it would be nice to think that that is what humans always do. But we don't. Often when things collapse, when you blow a system apart, what that does is it brings out the worst in people. And that, listening to Isaiah, is what was happening. Because rather than everyone working towards a common goal of building up a new and gracious reality, Isaiah repeatedly says, you just didn't do that. People came in and saw that many around them were weak and saw, you know what? We're rebuilding from the start. There are opportunities to do well. There are opportunities to profit. There are opportunities to push my way to the front. That often happens when you smash down a system. But for a lot of the folks who were part of that society, who fell out on the margins, who were poor, who were foreign, well, things didn't go so well. They were in a position of inherent weakness, and they became perfect targets for those who wanted to take advantage of them. Isaiah's story of rebuilding is full of evidence of this dark form of human relation. I mean, that's not what Torah describes. The heart of God's covenant says the people of Israel are meant to live in balance together. It's meant to unify. It's meant to prevent the kind of devouring imbalance that turns the heart of any culture towards the bright blight of injustice. The love of power, after all, was what had broken Judah apart in the first place. And here, with an opportunity for rebuilding, what people did was they just made the same old mistakes again. But the word from God that Isaiah proclaimed defied that despair. It challenged that cycle of oppression. It said, even in the face of this, from the Spirit of the living God, there is this possibility of doing things better. Within God's power, the prophet is saying, there is the possibility of working through people to bring about restoration. The prophet, in the face of this hopelessness, oh God, we're just doing the same mess again. The prophet is saying, you can do something new here. You can heal and restore. But it's a qualified statement. What is striking is how that happens. Not just God's going to come in and fix it. Don't worry about it. God is just going to handle this. All done. Fine. Well and good. If you do this, the prophet said, then this is more likely to happen. If you act, then God will do this. The creator of the universe does not say and give this guarantee that everything is out of your hands. If you do this, I will make this happen. It's an IFTT statement written, TTT, right here. Act if you want to shape your reality, if you want to increase the probability of grace. And it's a peculiar form of recipe for this, a peculiar program. First, Isaiah says you must care for those in need. This first and foremost, if you want there to be a just society, you must be just and gracious. Stop speaking ill of one another. Stop pointing the finger. Stop condemning. And instead, offer food to the hungry. Satisfy the needs of those who struggle. Then the possibility of justice is opened up. And further, don't trample the Sabbath. And it's easy, if you're preaching this, to turn this into a word. You have to come to church. You've got to come to church. You've got to come. You've got to come on in and bring your donations. Thank you very much. That is not the essence of what the Sabbath is being called out for here. The Sabbath here, its purpose is it's a holy day. It's a day set aside. It's a day where you allow yourself from the bustle of your self-seeking, of your busy life, to say, I will take a day of rest. I will take a time of peace. I will take a moment to settle in and take stock of how I am living and how I am acting and how that relates to the world around me. And even, I mean, if I'm going to do that, to be honest, it takes a little bit longer than that 1 minute meditation I can do with the little cylinder that sits in my living room. It requires intention. Take the time to have the intention to move away from self-seeking, which humans so readily fall into. It is not a guarantee, but it is a statement about how we increase the chances of grace in this world. Because if we are merciful, if we are kind, if we are gracious, if we are compassionate, that has an effect on the reality around us. It's subtle. And sometimes we're not exactly sure how it will work, but it makes it more likely that grace will flourish. If we are just, the likelihood that the world around us will be moved a little closer to justice is deepened. Isaiah, writing in a time of struggle and brokenness, laid out this word: if you do this, then things might get better. And I will admit, there's more complexity to this than just a simple switch. We can act in grace, and it doesn't always exactly seem to work the way we thought. It is not as precise, not as mechanical, not as straightforward as a machine. It's a living thing, God's work in us. But that shouldn't dissuade us. If we do this, then that is more likely. In times when things seem broken, in times when we are struggling, that's a good place to begin. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
IFTTT is such a reassuring protocol. It's so straight up. If this, then that. And I love hearing that word from Isaiah, and I trust that it speaks into the nature of God's call on us to act in particular ways. And I also know that sometimes it's easy to fall into cynicism about that actually working. If I do this, then that will happen. And there have been a lot of times where I have done this and nothing has happened. And then I have done this other thing. Still nothing has happened. And from the face of that, it's easy to say, well, you know, I tried. But the act of showing justice, the act of giving love, the act of caring for the poor, the act of lifting up those who are struggling, it's not just a thing you do once. I did that. That means better. It doesn't work like that. If you live your life according to that way, your whole life, then it does shape things. And if you might mention to someone else, maybe you might want to do this too, then that starts shaping things a little bit more. If this, then that is part of how we bend this world towards grace and justice, and it's part of how we restore things that are broken. And that promise from God is the path that we are on.
So think about how you act in this week. Think about how you speak, what you say, what you do, where your heart is and how it guides you. And let that be the first, if I am gracious in this moment, then I might be gracious in the next moment, and the next, and the next. And let that move through your whole life and become the path you are on. Let's try that this week, just a little bit. It'll work more than my echo does. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.